नमस्कार, स्वागत आनी देव बरो दीस दिव तुमका सोगल्यांक आयकतल्यांक आयच्या सुशेगाद तनपार प्रोग्रामार. वो प्रोग्राम आमी 104.6 प्लॅनेट FMI वयरतान आमी ब्रॉडकास्ट करता. आज म्हज्या संगता आसात बॅप्टिस्ट लोबो आनी हेक्टर डिसुजा. गेल्या 2 या 4 म्हयन्यांत हांव ऑकलँडाचो वेदर कांय सांगूंक जायना. थोडे पटी गरम जाता, थोडे पटी थंड जाता, थोडे पटी पावस येता, वारें वादळ. आनी म्हाका आयकूंक मेळ्ळां की 2 हप्त्या जावन हें गीता सायकलॉन आयलां.
खंयचें तें गीता रिचर्ड?
म्हाका गोत्त ना खंयचें गीता म्हण, बट ताचें सायकलॉनाचें नांव गीता दवरलां.
म्हाका ताका मेळोंक दाखय म्हाका खंय येता म्हणून.
पयले बायलेचें परमिशन घेवन घे तुज्या.
गीता
सांगता तूं येवसो काय. ओके जोर सायकलॉन आयला रे जोर आयला
ओके
बॅप्टिस्ट हेक्टर जोर सायकलॉन आयला मस्तू लोकांक प्रॉब्लम जाल्यात फिजींत टोंगांत आणि आमच्या ऑकलंडाच्या आम्ही न्यूझीलंडाच्या नॉर्थलँडांत पोरवा सोमारा जावन जोर पावस येऊन सो वारे वादळ फोरकास्ट केला बॅप्टिस्ट हे काले जाता रे पुरा हे काले म्हणतात
दॅट इज कॉल्ड ग्लोबल वॉर्मिंग रिचर्ड इट्स अ क्लायमेट चेंज वी हॅव स्कॅन्ट रिगार्ड अँड लॅक ऑफ रिस्पेक्ट फॉर आवर नेचर अँड अर्थ इज कमिंग टू बाईट अस The human activity in the last 50 years due to over-industrialization has produced green gas, greenhouse gas that has increased the earth's temperature.
Okay.
So what is this greenhouse gas and farting is called greenhouse gas?
No, I wouldn't go down that road, Baptist. But let me tell you, Donald Trump has said, "Tane mula ye kaale greenhouse gas. There is no climate change." So I just want to understand, what is this greenhouse gas effect and what levels have the temperature increased by?
Yeah. Richard, greenhouse gas effect is a similar effect which would happen in a garden glasshouse or a greenhouse, where it is a warming that results when the atmosphere traps heat radiating from Earth towards space.
Oh, okay.
So the heat is trapped within a confined space.
So it doesn't go out.
It doesn't go out.
Okay.
And that heat in your glass house, it's good because it helps the plants to grow. But in the Earth, the greenhouse gas effects, there are certain gases in the atmosphere which are blocking the heat from escaping. Long-lived gases that remain semi-permanently in the atmosphere and do not respond physically or chemically to changes in temperature as are described as forcing climate change.
So can you give us some examples? Like, which are these gases, So we can, as Baptists is talking about.
The farting.
But that is...
That's my understanding.
Yeah. But let's hear from Ekta. So, okay. He's more knowledgeable than both of us.
Yes, no. I'm not knowledgeable at all. But there are a few examples are carbon dioxide. Now, a minor but very important component of the atmosphere, carbon dioxide is released through natural processes such as respiration and volcanic eruptions and through human activities such as deforestation, land use changes and burning fossil fuel. So all these activities, industrialization and all, are increasing the level of carbon in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And this in turn is leading to increased global warming.
Okay.
There's another gas is methane.
Oh, that's where it is impacting, I think, possibly in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Which is...
Baptist is alluding to. The fart is actually the tax which is levied on farmers and all because of the cows
farting.
Cattle releasing gas which is causing
you're being very nice. I understand that.
So it's a hydrocarbon gas produced both through natural resources and human activities, including the decomposition of waste in landfills, agricultural animals and things like that. And then there is nitrous oxide, which is a powerful greenhouse gas produced by soil cultivation practices. And it's a leaching of actually nitrogen into the atmosphere by using chemical fertilizers, which have a lot of nitrogen.
Okay.
So in Pukekohe and all, where they are having a lot of farms, this problem of nitrogen leaching is polluting the waterways and all around that
so
place.
So something which happened in Punjab, similar kind of a thing, where a lot of...
Possibly it's happening.
A lot
also.
Of chemicals were used for growth for of the plants and it has affected the soil.
The use of chemical fertilizers, nitrogen, and then it gets leached by when it is this into the soil.
There was a very good movie in Bollywood movie on that.
Okay.
Yeah, of the gas. Yeah.
And then one more thing is you must have heard of CFCs. Now, CFCs is chlorofluorocarbons, and these are synthetic compounds entirely of industrial origin used in a number of applications, plastics and things like that.
Yeah.
But now largely regulated in production and released to the air by international agreements, because these CFCs have a very, very negative impact. Lead to the destruction of the ozone layer. They are also greenhouse gases.
Something which was there in car air conditioners some years ago, which was being used. That was a gas that was used for
CFC.
Car air. But then the car air conditioning systems have changed, and so therefore there are...
So there is always an ever expanding human activity coupled with population growth. And this has dealt a severe blow to our environment. So there is water pollution, air pollution, as you talked some time back. Soil erosion, changing weather patterns, like changing weather patterns, snowfall in Jalna, Maharashtra, or the rivers being polluted like Ara River in Melbourne, or the cities like New Delhi, the most polluted city in the world. So most recently, there is also a shortage of water in South Africa. They had to ration. And drought everywhere. So what is happening? The rising levels of sea and all these kind of things we are hearing every now and then. So there is an assault by human activity on the nature. Yeah.
So Baptist very rightfully said, and that's what I was mentioning at the beginning in my little bit of Konkani that I started talking with great gusto. What's happening in nature? And you know, Hector, the way you have explained climate change and the types of gases that are causing this climate change, you seem to be more qualified than both of us, because A, you are a lay Franciscan, and you also have a certificate in horticulture, which you are applying in establishing your veggie garden and fruit trees in your backyard. And the great thing about you is that you're not just a lay Franciscan of attending meetings and prayer meetings. You actually put some of those aspects
into practice.
So has
thank you. I don't know about how much about.
But we can see that the passion with which you address the flowers,
the
and
garden,
trees and the garden.
Whenever you come to my garden, touch the leaves, talk to them. I think
So the tremendous passion that you have is something which is very. Very close to the Franciscans as such. Yeah. So has Franciscan spirituality led you into the pursuit of nature? Or is your love for nature driven you to the Franciscan spirituality?
I think it was the second one, where when I was a child, I grew up in Santa Cruz in Bombay, and had the privilege of staying in a small little bungalow kind of environment. Incidentally, it was a small building in the front flat, one-story building. There were Parsis. We were Catholics at the back. The first floor was the landlord. They were Muslims. Mm. And on the second floor, later on, there was a Gujarati couple or a Gujarati family. So all communities were represented there, and we celebrated all festivals with gusto. So each one, and that was the beauty of India, where we not only, there was a lot of tolerance, but there was a celebration of diversity, which was, I think, something which is unique about India. Coming to the ecology part of it and the love for nature and love for creation, there were a variety of trees in the garden. There was a coconut trees, mango trees, papaya, pomegranate, variety of things. So what is that called?
But Santa Cruz by itself in those days, in the 60s and the 70s, had a pretty... what I could say as leafy bylanes. And, you know, lots of trees and fruit gardens all over the place.
And in fact, it was talking about the leafy this and the trees. Perhaps I think also that my cousin used to sing a song, and it was called Trees, which it's a beautifully sung, and he used to sing it beautifully. And recently I found it and sent it to you. Could you play it to us for grace?
That I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the sweet glowing breast.
It was a song by Joyce Kimler and sung by Paul Robson. A great bass voice, I must say.
Yeah.
And that brings out another passion that you have, Hector. You're very fond of classical music.
Yeah, yeah.
And you also trained yourself to be a classical singer.
Yeah, I went for a few classes. In fact, I was at one time contemplating singing this song, but then I said it won't be fair to our listeners of Susega Donpar to it may spoil their Donpar.
Yeah, so as he ends that poem, or rather Rob Paulson, as he ends singing, saying that only God can create this tree. So there's an immense connection between nature and spirituality. And you were explaining, rather narrating, your joys of living in a suburb.
Yeah. So that's why I think it was like a, you know, living among nature and being in the midst of nature came naturally to me. And then spirituality or Franciscan spirituality came much later when I came to New Zealand. And New Zealand had gone for one concert where the singer said what he loves about New Zealand is that it's so pristine. And I think there is a lot of care for creation in New Zealand. So I came to know of the Franciscans, and I didn't know that Francis was so much had been declared actually as the patron saint of the ecology. That only came later. So as these things happen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it's as I said right in the beginning, you are the most qualified in this room.
Right.
No, Richard, I come second. Huh?
I agree fully with you, Richard.
So why don't you play us a song, Char Disan So Songsar?
You want that to be
done. By Wilfie, you say. Okay. You know, he talks about it's just...
So soon, sir, keep it low.
मोडतलो चार दिसां सो कितलो उरता मन करून त्यार स्मारा फुंकल्यार पोटा हांकां रानाली दरबारा हांगा कितें करता
कुडीर तुझ्या
Welcome back. You're listening to Shishaka Dhanpar on 104.6 Planet FM. Just a quick reminder, Hum FM is organizing a holy festival on Saturday, the 3rd of March. Kindly go on to their website to see when, where and how. Let's get back to our chatting. We are chatting on interconnect of nature and spirituality. So Hector, so is your understanding how has spirituality and nature come to a close association? Is there an association, if at all?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's actually goes back to the very essential, the breath of life.
Okay.
Which is a critical and integral element of human living. If we take the breath out of a person, the person dies. In the same way, nature plays a key role in keeping the breath of life in the earth. Nature acts as the lungs that enables the subsistence of the ecology on this planet. And we human beings are part of that ecology. We are a subset of it, an element of it. The human economic and social activity in the last 15 years...
50 years.
50 years.
15 years.
No, I just has started becoming less cancerous and toxic to the environment. And we are actually our science and technology and industrialization, we are using it to plunder
the earth resources
and the environment. Oh.
So are you, Hector, alluding to the creation stories where humans are put in the Garden of Eden? And where creation is pleasant to the sight and is good.
Yeah. And yes, and he saw that it is good. And sometimes he saw that it was very good.
Yeah, that's absolutely what the stories tell us.
Yeah.
So are you alluding to that fact?
Yes, I am alluding to that. And if you follow the creation stories, humans were put into the midst of all that God has created. And in India, we are part of the ecosystem and not outside of it. And hence, if you read the creation stories in Genesis, after every event, God said that it was good. A stark reminder to us that God's creation, including us, are good.
But in practice, Hector, there is a huge disconnect between spirituality and nature, and especially among our Christians.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of goes back to how some people interpret the Genesis story, where God said, you know, and he gave, and after creating all the fish and the birds in the air and plants and all, and God then created man and said, this is all for you to have dominion over it. And unfortunately, we have, perhaps Christians sometimes have taken that to mean that
literally
man is superior to all in creation, and we have to exploit creation for our own good to the kind of distinction,
so basically,
opposition to protecting and being stewards of nature, stewards of the environment.
So they have plundered it, basically.
They have plundered it.
Yeah.
And but now, if you see Pope John Paul II and all, we have started, even Christian and Catholic spirituality has talked about protecting nature.
Yeah, but what happened, Hector, you know, prior to Pope John Paul II, you know, there was this huge gap between now and what happened almost a millennium ago. What happened to all that? Where did Christianity talk about it? It seems to have forgotten. There seems to have been two worlds. One is God and then a creation. And there was a bit of a disconnect between the two.
Yeah, yeah. And actually over there also cultural historian Thomas Berry has devoted his career to understanding how Western religion and culture have failed to sustain a nurturing relationship between humans and Earth. In his major work, The Dream of the Earth, The Universe Story, and The Great Work, Thomas Berry has traced the Western spiritual estrangement from the Earth implicit in the growth of modern technological culture. He also observed that, unfortunately, we treat the universe as a collection of objects instead of a communion of subjects.
So is he saying that, you know, we are all a part and parcel of this huge journey? You know, just like, I mean, I'm just...
What he's trying to say is we are interconnected. Everything in the the world is interconnected, and we can't really exist without...
One without the other.
So we are connected with them. If you look at the trees, they depend on the birds, the sun, the birds, the soil to live. The tree cannot move on its own. It makes itself attractive, and the birds and the bees play such an important part in procreation. And spreading the good news around. And we as humans also have started playing a big part in now...
Restoring back the
ecological balance, and it's also called an ecological conversion, just as we call a spiritual conversion. We need an ecological conversion.
In fact, if you look at Noah's story, where Noah takes all the creations along with him on the ship. Yeah, it's a reminder, as what Thomas Berry, which you mentioned about, is a reminder basically to that, is that we all are on this big journey just like Noah. We're all on this big journey as such, and all are in communion with one another. We cannot sort of carry on this journey on earth unless the support and help of one another. So in this journey, how did St. Francis sort of come into play?
Yeah, St. Francis, it's beautiful because he... 2 years, he always treated, you may have heard the story where he preached to the birds. And once when he was, he wanted to preach and the swallows were going around the place where he was in Assisi, creating such a noise no one could hear.
Okay.
So he told them, birds, my sister birds, please keep quiet now. You have had your say throughout for a long time. Mm. Now I want to speak.
Okay.
And the legend has it that the swallows stopped chirping, and he could preach.
Oh, okay.
So, and he used to treat not only birds and animals with respect, even the stones and everything. He used to tread very lightly on them, and he didn't want to this. And then 2 years before he died, he wrote the Canticle of the Creatures, where he refers to brother sun and sister moon and sister water. And he alludes to earth like a sister with whom we share our life and a beautiful mother who opens her arms to embrace us and sustain us with all that she produces. So, Francis, it's no wonder that he has been declared by, I don't know which, I think it's Pope John Paul the Second, as in 1980 or 1990, as a patron saint of the ecology.
Ecology, okay.
Okay, so so what you're basically saying is that we are all an integral part of this wonderful universe, and we have to be very cautious in how we behave and act, because every action of ours has a counter...
Equal
counter,
and opposite reaction.
Opposite reaction and an impact on the others as such. Yeah. But Hector, we run a huge risk in this, is that when we start sort of paying that sort of homage to nature, we sort of tread in the area of idolatry. So we sort of get into a situation where, A, the church is not able to bridge this gap between scientific finding and the stories of the creation that is there in the scriptures. And then we start looking at earth in a very sacrosanct way. And then we find ourselves, hey...
Worshipping that.
Yeah,
worshipping that. The sun,
so how,
the moon,
how does the church
the earth
sort of get into...
Yeah, because then we don't differentiate between God and nature.
Yeah.
So that's what...
I think that's
what the meaning is. Like, for example, if we go more towards nature and worship the nature rather than God, so we are moving away from God.
Or there
should be a balance. Or we should talk about only God and forget about nature. Or we should only talk about nature.
You cannot talk about one without the other, because
okay,
nature is... creation, just as we are part of nature.
Yes.
We look after our bodies.
Right.
And selves. It doesn't mean that we are worshipping ourselves, but we are actually the temple of God, and we are supposed to...
nurture it.
To look after it so that we can serve God better. And I do not think that the church is that stubborn and unaware of the scientific rationale of creation. The church acknowledges that each form of life is integrated with every form, even beyond the earth. The church has expressed its solidarity with nature by the Pope, our Pope Francis, it's in his recent encyclical, which is called Laudato Si, and what it means is, praise be to you, my God, my Lord. And where Pope Francis says in this is that there is a real need for us to be concerned and look after Mother Earth.
So is that a praise be to Lord my God a part
praise
of
praise be to God. It is Laudato Si mi Signore, and that means praise be to my God.
Yeah, so is it the part of the canticle?
It's part of the canticle of creatures of in the opening paragraph of Laudato Si, where Pope Francis says what it is. He says that a big influence on the church has been Saint Francis of Assisi. I think where Christ perhaps gave a new commandment, I give unto you, is to love one another as I loved you. Perhaps Francis was giving us a new commandment in a way. But this is my own thinking. To love nature as God has loved us, you know.
Okay, so tell me, was this the trigger point for this huge accord that took place among all the countries?
Yeah, there have been several accords over this, and the recent one, which was really very, very amazing in the sense that all countries, including America, were a signatory to that in the Paris Convention, which took place a few years ago. And it was signed by all countries where they really decided that, or didn't decide, or they recognized that there is a need to protect the environment, to bring down global warming, etc.
Yeah, but now you have the president and the United States first walked out of that.
Yeah, that's very, very unfortunate, and most countries have deplored that. But in spite of the president saying that he's withdrawn, there are most of the states in America are doing what they are supposed to do under the Paris Convention.
So therefore, the church has played a very important role in recent times, not in the past.
In bringing awareness, and I think Laudato Si is the most recent one, but there have been, of course, Laudato Si is totally, it's the first time a full encyclical is totally
on
care for our common home, as Pope Francis said. It started right from Pope Paul, actually.
So as you rightly said in the initial stages, we are starting the eco-conversion.
Yes.
Ecological.
So therefore, what you're trying to bring to this discussion here, in the midst of a little bit of fun, is that there is a huge connect between developing your spirituality as well as being in touch with nature. So both feed off one another, and it makes you a stronger person. On that note, Hector, let's hear a song which Baptist is going to play for us.
Baro poita sogle zadar tan Pochit pan gyon muye shieta Ani kuroita utkan Muiti panar chotoch parvo Tochit dorun todi gwatta pan Epori parvo muye kwataita Muy bota ukaran Shikari Koru kai lolo shikar Shikare kon meolo namun Toza lolo pika Kosloi pun kas meolar puro Mun ranan veta muka Tiklian usta gadisti potta Parvo bos lolo ruka Jau saiba ki te pun meule Juta cho kushal kain botta Juta kushik ravon arm geun Parvya cher tir gotta Parvya cher far sur cha vela Payak ta cha kon gas matta Parvya cher ma lolo far chukon Koruka kandya cher potta gelo udon sikaryan tya parmal lolo mun parva kaile kolon kone jay taplya gat mallo to payang poita olon polelar kite poitolo muy payareta cholon ओय मुयती तोळ्यान बुट्टाणा पारव्यान तिका आदार दिलो मुयेन पारव्याक सालवार करून शिकाऱ्याक आसमालो पारव्यान मुयेचेर उपकार केलो मुयेन उपकार तो फारीक केलो पूण आमी मुनीस होऊन उपकारी म्हणटात काम जालें वयस मेलो
You're listening to Sushika Tanpar on 104.6 Planet FM. We are in discussion with Baptist Lobo and Hector D'Souza about eco-spirituality, of how we can connect nature with our own spirituality as such. Those who are interested in making a good Lenten program, or rather a good Lent this year, can attend the two lectures or two talks organized by the Divine Retreat Center. One at Our Lady of Lourdes on the 3rd of March from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the next one is on 4th of March from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. at St. John Vianney Church. Now, these programs are run by Father Joby George, who is from Divine Retreat Center, Porter, and who is now based in Sydney. He would be visiting Auckland for conducting these two talks. Once again, a big thank you to Divine Retreat Center for organizing these talks. So coming back, Hector, to our discussion, the actions of the earth, as you say, are the sum total of all the actions of the creation on the earth. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what one does impacts others and environmentally everything around us. So what can you do to reduce your carbon footprints on this beautiful planet?
It's simple, Richard. The three R's we have been taught always.
What are those?
Reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Less is more.
Less is more. Yes.
And that is good in theory and for sloganeering. Let's look at it more practically, Baptist.
Yeah.
Let's start with our houses as such. So how can we reduce, how can we reuse, and how can we recycle?
The first one I would say downsize, reduce, remove the clutter from your garage. We keep things for more sentimental reasons, and the question is, oh, we'll need it at some future time. Let's keep it. Ha 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 ha.
like the banyan. If you want to throw it out, don't teach it. We'll use it as a katka on the
katka. But that is actually
as a katka
real.
On the.
Kitchen bench.
Another good, your banyan, if I may tell you, since we're talking about gardening and all,
you want to cut it up.
Good ties.
Yes. I have used it. I like that one.
Oh,
and
good
even
ties.
Socks.
Yes. Oh, is
socks,
it
socks and those, yes.
Okay.
Just remember
so,
that. So,
yeah,
reuse.
Yeah.
Reuse. So, yeah.
And,
Hector, so where to go?
Actually, also, I would say it starts with an attitude.
Okay.
An attitude of the heart where you accept each moment as a gift from God to be lived to the full. Now, Jesus taught us this attitude when he invited us to contemplate the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Or when seeing the rich young man and knowing his restlessness, he looked at him with love.
Yeah.
Now, one expression of this attitude is when we stop to give thanks to God before and after meals. It is a beautiful and meaningful custom. The moment of blessing, no matter how brief, reminds us of our dependence on God for life. When we say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord. It strengthens our feeling of gratitude for the gifts of creation. It acknowledges those who by their labors provide us with these goods. And it reaffirms our solidarity with those in greatest need. So that was just one of the ways at home where we, you know, when we are in the moment and stop and give thanks, it creates an attitude of thankfulness and for creation and all what we are like it and gratefulness to God. Then another way, Baptist, you wanted to say something? Or
no, I was just reflecting on what you said about prayer as such. Even in the Eucharistic celebration, you see, the priest says that the work of human hands and the fruit of.
Yes.
So it is alluding to the fact that even at the Eucharistic prayer, when the priest elevates the Eucharist Host. And as well as the chalice wine. Of wine, they refer to the work of human hands. And yeah. the blessings of the Lord as such. So I think in a way, in my own little way, we need to ask a few questions of how we bring about more concern about the planet. When we are buying food, we need to ask, do we require this? Do we require it for the week? Do we require it for the month? Do we have to buy in such large quantity? Clothing.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gadgets.
Yeah.
So every item of expenditure, in my understanding, we need to challenge it. Many of us have this habit of discretionary spend, and that actually goes to add to our clutter. Oh, let me buy this small thing, it will look nice on the mantle, or let me buy this, it will look nice here. Oh, I can wear this shirt for this function and then I don't wear it for the next 2 years, and then I want to fit into it but I've blown out of it. So I think we need to be concerned about our discretionary
spend. And I think, Richard, the sale factor, ek ke piche do free kind of a thing. Buy one and get two free.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you just keep on adding to your clutter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even at home, nowadays, it's we're all talking about how warm it is and all that. Do we still by habit put on the warm water or the hot water
yes.
in our kitchen so yeah. for this try, you know, yeah. conserving energy way?
In fact, when we came into this country, the first thing that we were buying for the winter season was these fin heaters.
Yep.
Yeah, but now people are talking about installing
heat pumps
as yeah. such. So there were no heat pumps in this country, but still people lived.
Hmm.
In spite of the severity of the cold. The yep. severity of the cold is not that high as such. So the question that you need to ask is that do we require this immense amount of gadgetry just yeah. for a matter of few months? Can we manage it with something else?
Or let your body get used to it and you are in line with the nature.
Yeah.
Is
or
it not?
Even perhaps if the supermarket is close by, can you think of walking to it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rather
Absolutely.
Than just sitting in your car
and just driving
off,
it down. Yeah.
It's good to, it burns less fossil fuels and it's good for health as
and
well.
And if it is little far away, like you are cycling.
yeah,
is it
got,
not?
I've got to do that.
yeah, absolutely.
Cycle.
And Richard, you had also, we were talking about how we can, what we can do, what hobbies we can pursue
yeah.
perhaps. When I was thinking, we all are perhaps involved in little our prayer groups or our faith groups and all that.
Rosary and group and all those kind of, yeah.
I've heard of a number of them where they get involved in community gardening, recycling, replanting projects, removing rubbish from the beach, riparian planting. And what I read about in an article is that the local faith community's collaboration represent one way we can all make efficient use of local resources and do our part for Earth's ecological health. And I believe the Auckland Council gives a lot of support by way of funding or other resources for this.
So that's what we were sort of.
In fact, if you remember the other day when we went walking, all of us, just coming out of that park, there was a community garden bang on the footpath.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a lot yeah. of tomatoes, and I picked some tomatoes from there and chilies
yeah.
too. But that's the kind of thing we need to do, I think, as a community.
Yeah, that's the Eric Amishaw path that has been built
yes.
by the council after the redoing of the Waterview
yes, yes,
tunnel
yes.
as such.
Yes.
But so therefore, like our Rosary group, of
yeah.
which we are a part of, we look at gardening, we look at nature walks, we engage in some sort of seasonal cooking, or which is from the local produce. We are, in fact, at home, I run my
That's
own...
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. At home, I run my own worm farm.
Yeah.
So it is a small little kit.
Do you do that or Harriet?
Harriet actually does the whole of it. Thanks to her. But I got this kit from Maitra 10. And it is a four-tier kit where we don't go and buy fertilizers from outside, but we use the worm farm as such, where we put in all the vegetable clippings, we put in all the veggie waste. We don't put any fish or meat in it. the fish or meat goes in the wet bin as such, which goes out to the council. But the rest of the kitchen waste of fresh vegetables, fruits, peels of banana peels or peels of any fruit goes into it as such. And we get a good sort of collection of what we call it as worm tea, which we use it for putting it in the
garden. Is blooming, Richard.
Yeah, so that's how we do our wee bit. I've also learned from my neighbor, who's a Japanese, where the grass clippings, he doesn't put it in the bin. He puts it to the bottoms of various trees because mulching. It traps, it uses as a natural mulch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It traps the moisture, it traps the heat. So the plants sustain any form of difficult weather conditions.
And Richard, that also, when you do that, you have to use less water when watering the tea.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. So there's conservation of water as such. Yeah. I don't have to bother about it. Because after some days, if you just go and remove or pull back that clippings, there those grass clippings, water. There's still water that is trapped in there. Yeah.
Another good thing about these organic things is that they promote a lot of microbial growth.
Yes.
And those that growth,
that
those microbes and bacteria, the good bacteria, which help to improve
recreate.
The soil structure.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. So thanks, Hector, and
thank you,
Baptist. We are almost we are almost there within 5 minutes of our program closing down for this weekend. But all that we wanted to share with you on this program on eco spirituality, and with great amount of inputs from Hector. And a good amount of banter from Baptist, who's always a fun-loving guy to be in our midst rather than to being very serious. We encourage you to be conscious of the nature around us, the people around us, and how best you can reduce your carbon footprint.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, enjoy the weekend.
Richard and Baptist. And thank you, listeners.
Cun bien survat che le aga lungsa so pot ai le rat raja so pot ai le aga farto richa cun bien survat che le aga lungsa so pot ai le rat raja so pot ai le aga Yeah.